We're going to do a Labor Day message today, and we're talking about labor less. You know, have you ever felt just kind of wore out? I think a lot of us can testify to that. You know, sometimes I think we just get really, really exhausted. And I don't think of just physical exhaustion sometimes, but I also think of it being like mental exhaustion or stress, because I think that's the worst. Because if you're physically tired, usually when you sleep, that'll fix it. But if you have mental stress going on in your night, in your life, even at night, you don't really get a break from it. And all these things kind of keep coming in. And what it does, it robs us of our faith, of our joy, and of our peace in our life that Jesus came to give. Now, also, Jesus gave us a three-step process to find rest. And we're going to look at it today in the scripture, Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Very familiar scripture. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the special unction of the Holy Spirit here today to be able to bring us revelation knowledge, that rhema word from God in each of our lives. Lord, we know that many people battle different things, Lord, that comes in to try to occupy their time, to keep them, their focus away from you. But Lord, right now, we just center ourselves. We just thank you that we just look to you. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the three-step process, or the 3 points that I believe that we can see from this passage, is come, take, and learn. And we're going to look at these today. The first one is come. And that's really the biggest step that probably many of us probably have struggled with from time to time, is the idea or the concept that we finally come to the point in our life where we're going to come to Christ, that we're going to go to Him. And the hardest thing, or hardest step in a long journey, is that first step, that decision process, you know, where we finally decide, well, you know, for me, I tried everything else. So now I'm going to try God. We're going to see what God can do. And that's where I was in my life. And so I started that process of taking that first step. And, you know, He didn't make me take that step. I chose to take that step. Because I had found out by all the other things that I have experienced in life, I did not have rest. I didn't have rest in my life. There was always something unsettled. There was something missing. There was something that I wanted more of. And no matter what I tried to pour into my life, it just wasn't satisfying me. So I made that first step. And you know, sometimes coming to Christ, because especially in the first little bit, you know, we don't know anything about it, right? I mean, it's a pretty foreign concept to some degree, because we don't really see Him, in a sense. So understanding, you know, that coming to Christ, it can seem like a very long journey or a very long trip. But what I found out for my life, it was just a heart's cry away. One heart cry away. It wasn't something that I assimilated with my mind, but it was something that I felt like inside me that I knew that I wanted Him. And as I did that, I was able to find Him. So what it means, it's more than just a ritual, where many times in our country that maybe we've been raised in a church and, you know, we've went through the motions and it was always just a ritual, but He wants it to be a relationship. And that was a different concept that I had to come to. Something that really opened my eyes that Jesus really cared. Because I always thought God was the one who said you can't go out and do fun things. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how He was portrayed to me by many people. So I tried to go out and do all these things. And, you know, I was getting spiritually or emotionally maybe wore out sometimes in my life because I just couldn't really find that peace. And what we do is the first thing is that we must decide just to come. And what I mean by that, you just come as you are. Stop trying to fix ourselves up. You know, a lot of times we think we got to, you know, I don't know how many people I've ever witnessed to in my life that says, well, I'm going to come to church or I'm going to come to Christ when I quit this or I quit that or I do this or I do that. And I look at them and I'm kind of sad because I know they won't do it. See, we come to Christ as we are, and He's the one who helps us get rid of those things. As we start to shed the load that we carry and start to let Him help, then it does it. But see, that's the hardest part. We have to acknowledge we need help. And that's the hardest thing for us to come to grips with sometimes in our life, is the fact because we're so self-sufficient, we can figure out most things, but we need help. I need help. I can't do it no more. I'm juggling all these things and doing all these things, and I'm so wore out, I'm so stressed out, I'm not sleeping, I'm not, you know, doing this, and it just gets heavier and heavier, the burden. I need help. I need help for my weary soul. So there's a purpose for that coming, and that is to find that rest, that inner peace, something that we want to do. Now, when the Scripture's talking about, come to me who are weary, it's talking about a people, it's talking about exhaustion without a minute of relief. And I believe a lot of single mothers can probably testify to that. And also people who maybe have to work several jobs or maybe you work in a high-stress environment, whatever the case may be. But you have that exhaustion and you just don't think you can get 1 minute of a break. And just soon as you get a break, somebody knocks on the door or somebody calls on the phone and they're wanting your attention again. And you just don't know what to do. It's hard. And that's what this is talking about, because the rest that Jesus is mentioning here, what this actually means, it's talking about to refresh or to recreate. And I know sometimes I need recreated. I need refreshed. I need that restoring, because sometimes, you know, you get to the place in our life where you're taking care of so many things. You know, maybe the stresses of being married or the stresses of dealing with kids, and maybe you have a kid that's not perfect. How many has one of those? Or maybe three of those or something, you know what I mean? None of us are perfect. We all have issues, and yet we're trying to deal with all these things. We're trying to spin all these plates. And what I found out sometimes is I just take a nap. I think that's going to help. I love a nap. You know, that gives me some rest sometimes, especially if I can just tune everything out. And, you know, I'll be honest, I love my Sunday afternoon nap. You know, my goal in life, which I maybe need to set my sights a little higher, is that after we have church and preaching, I go home and I like to eat, and then I like to lay down on the couch with the TV playing, with the remote control in my hand. Man, that's bliss for me. Just about a half hour where I still have control with the remote, but yet I'm resting. You know, how about that other time? Has anybody ever tried maybe falling asleep in front of the TV? Have you ever done that? Maybe in the evening? There's certain shows that really do it for me. But anyway, you're sitting there. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I've never really asked my wife about this, but you know that feeling that comes over you when you're sitting there and you're watching TV and you're starting to doze? To me, that's a deep feeling of relaxation. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I really feel good right then. It's just awesome. But I know I don't want to do it too long because it could mess up my sleep. And then also, back to the remote, I know if I doze off too long, my wife will take the remote out of my hand. So there I'm faced with the dilemma. Do I want to enter into rest and relinquish control, or do I want to keep control and not enter into rest? And we're going to look at that here in a moment a little more. Because I think that's true. Now, to be honest, she prefers me to run the remote control for the most part, other than picking what we're watching. We TiVo stuff, and then we always fast-forward through. And she likes me to hit the buttons, you know, to fast-forward through, because sometimes she hits the wrong button, and it happens. But anyway, you know, we get that rest. And so once we decide to come, then we decide to take. Now this is the next phase of our relationship with Him. Now what a it says, take my yoke upon you. I don't know about you, but another place in Scripture, do you remember Jesus said, if you take your hands off the plow, you're not worthy of the kingdom anymore? How many's watched Little House on the Prairie? And you've seen him out there, you know, either following a horse or an ox, and you're back there and you're riding the plow, man. You're not doing the hard part, but you got to keep it steered a little bit. Well, Jesus, that scripture says, don't take your hand off the plow, you're not fit for the kingdom. Well, this scripture kind of puts you on the other end of the plow. You know what I mean? He says, take my yoke upon you. Now you're pulling the plow. So that's different, isn't it? And it's a different thing. I'd rather be on the back than in the front, but I guess Jesus wants to show us something here a little bit about that. So, you know, what is a yoke? We've all seen them. You place them on a beast of burden, and what it was is that the farmer would take this yoke and they would put it on an ox or a horse, and that would be able to utilize that animal for service. Because you couldn't really use them that good unless you was able to hook them up properly. Now, metaphorically, when it talks about a yoke in Scripture, it's talking about bondage, which is kind of a negative thing, but it also talks about submission to authority, which can also be negative to some, unless we really understand what it's about. True submission to authority is a good thing. It puts us in a position to be advanced in the kingdom. But us with our rebel background, we don't like that. But anyway, that's another sermon in itself. So what they would do is they would take this yoke and they would kind of hook it up around the shoulders. And then from that, they would hook a line from each side that would go back to the device that you're working with, whether it be a wagon or whether it be a plow. Let's just call it a plow today. And they would hook that to the plow. And the reason why they did it with two lines is so that when the animal pulled, you get the same tension on each side. And you could, you know, keep a straight line and keep control of the critter. You know what I mean? Now, for you city slickers here, you probably thought, well, why can't you just hook it up to the tail? Right? Well, the tail's right in the center. Take it from me as a farm boy. Animals frown on that. When you try to hook a rope to the tail, you know, I mean, everybody gets a bright idea as a kid. Well, that's not good. It's a good way to get kicked, man. I'll tell you what. You know, I've had some crazy things, you know, with tails in my life. My dad's big thing was, you know, when we're working the animals, we'll just, you know, when you got calves in there, you know, twist their tail a little bit, you know, to keep them up in the head gate so we could work on them. Well, that's okay when they're 100 or 200 pounds. But, you know, as they get bigger, you know, the next time the next vaccinations come through, they're maybe 500-600 pounds. Yeah, you know, that gets a little dicey from time to time. As long as you stay close, you don't get hurt too bad. Well, what really bothered me was when we started to have to work with the cows. Now, as a kid growing up, we had Angus, and back then, Angus were short. Well, Dad got the bright idea of buying a Charolais Bulls. Well, the Charolais Bulls brought height. Some of them cows, I kid you not, I'm, you know, not very tall anyway, but I would, you know, their backs were up about my nose. And Dad said, go up and twist their tail. And I'd say, are you crazy? You know, think about it. I mean, a couple times I did it, but I'll tell you what, that ain't no good. So don't go with the tail. No matter what they try to tell you, it's better to stay on the front side, you know, if you're going to do some things. So hooked up, if you're going to yoke them up, that's the better. So without the yoke, you couldn't fully utilize the animal. But they devised this way of doing it. And because the yoke had the ability to harness power. And that's the whole purpose of hooking up this animal, was to harness their power. So that you could utilize them to accomplish a task. And it's the same with us. Now, as Jesus said here, it's different for us because in working with an animal, the farmer would take the yoke and have to place it on the animal. But here Jesus is saying to you and I, you take the yoke. You place the yoke upon yourself So that comes with choice. That comes with choice of you wanting to put yourself in the service for God. Are you willing to let God utilize your power? The power that He's put inside of you. So it's by our choice we choose to let Him, you know, put that, have that yoke, and that we want to hook up with Him. That means we have to be willing and obedient. Now, I do know why there's some fear or reservation in some of our lives from wanting to make this step. Because there are some negative yokes out in our life, aren't they? There's the religious yokes that people try to place on people. It's like the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees put a lot of negative things on the people to try to make them, you had to do this, you had to do that, you had, you know, go through all these rituals and all these traditions in order to kind of get close to God, you know, and those were negative things, and sometimes were very hard. Jesus even, you know, scolded them because they put so much pressure on the people. Then also there's cultural or society yokes, the yokes that you and I deal with in our culture that we have to mess with, and, you know, the PC crowd and all these different things where you can't really just be yourself anymore. You really got to, you know, think about every little, you know, dot and cross of the T, everything that you do. And there's all these yokes out there that, to me, some of those yokes are a joke, right? They're just a joke. And that's no yoke. I mean, no joke, right? So we're supposed to trade in the bad yokes. Because in the beginning, now maybe I was the only one, I don't think I was, is the fact that when I started to come to Christ, like I thought I had to quit a few things. So I wasn't really getting it. I couldn't really get close to Him because I was always keeping Him at arm's length because I was trying to do it myself. I hadn't surrendered my life. And that's what happened here, but you know, in my life. But then Jesus said, you know, His yoke that He gives us is easier. It's an easy yoke. And what that yoke is, and what it's talking about, what the word easy there is talking about well-fitting. Well-fitting. And it's the yoke that Jesus wants you to hook up to is tailor-made to fit you specifically. He doesn't have the same yoke for everybody. We all have different callings. We have different things we have to do. I don't know about you, but most of my clothes aren't tailored. You know what I mean? You get them off the rack. You get what you get, right? Some of them fit good. Some not so good. But I tell you, when Jesus fits us for our yoke, He made it specifically for you. And it's only for you. And when you tie into that, it's going to fit perfectly because it's given according to the abilities that He's already put inside of you. And so He's not asking you to do something you can't do. He's asking you to do something that you've been created to do. And that should bring some peace. Because a lot of times we think that we can't do anything. But, you know, God has placed in us everything that we do need to do. And what happens is when we choose to hook up to His yoke, we're going to find out that it's going to be fulfilling and rewarding, because isn't that the true purpose of what we really want in life? I mean, a lot of people, I mean, if you really think about it, we want comfort, you know, it is nice to have indoor plumbing. I'm not going to lie to you and stuff like that. You know, I'd rather do that than have to go outside in the old days. But, you know, primarily we want to find something that fulfills us and makes us happy. Because if you're fulfilled and happy, you know, life is going to be good. And when we choose to yoke up with Him and become a part of what He wants us to do, then we start to find that fulfillment in life. Now, what a lot of people that picture, that some people when they've used this, you know, it kind of pictures that, you know, Jesus, when we hook up with Him, that He's going to do all the work. I don't know if I totally agree with that. Because I believe that He's given us grace to do the work. The strength. It is Him, but it's Him working through us. Now, when they trained a young ox back in the day, they would hook him up to an older one. And the older one would do a lot more of the work than the young one would do, because the young one was just learning. You know, how many's watched that? I've watched a few shows, and one of them I got a kick out of. Sort of, they had these dog sled races. And, you know, that's really competitive stuff. I didn't know these guys really took it that serious, but I guess it's a big deal. But, you know, how they have their kennels and all that, and they want to have the right dogs. And if you win, you win, you know, it makes more notoriety, which that makes sense, I guess. But it was talking about some dogs just can't pull with other dogs, so it can't be on the team. So the young ox or the young Christian needs to learn how to pull. And that's why the older people, the more mature people in the church, need to maybe step in and take them under their wing and try to help them along in the process. It'll go faster versus them having to find everything out the hard way. So we need each other. That's what God wants us to see. We need Him first, but then we need each other. We need each other so we work together. That's how we find that fulfillment when we do things with other people of like precious faith. People that are on the same wavelength, on the same station, shall we say. And as we do that, then we're starting to start to grow, because everybody in life is going to have to carry a burden. We all have some things to carry. But the good news is, if we're fitted for the right yoke that fits right, we're going to get the right kind of grace in our life to help us to accomplish that task. And we need to be comfortable with that. And we need to be confident in that. You never need to doubt that God is ever going to give you the wrong thing or not enough of what you need to fulfill the call of God on your life. He's going to give you everything you need. Everything. He may not give it the way that you want it, but He's going to give it to you. You're going to have everything that you need. Well, we looked at come and take. Now we're going to look at learn. Learning. Well, it says, you know, that we need to learn from Him, meaning He's a good teacher. And as I mentioned, we can learn from other believers. So what I see from this is that you and I need to be teachable in the sense of learning a new system. New systems. Now, a lot of people don't like change because it frustrates them. You know, I know maybe at work, you know, somebody just got out of college and knows everything, you know what I mean? Maybe they got hired on and now they're going to change the whole process, the way you're doing things. You know, and that's hard sometimes. You know, but nevertheless, though, there is things that we can learn that might help us to be better. So we have to be teachable in the things of God, especially. Now, it starts us on the right process. And what I like to say is, the more we learn, the more we learn to trust Him. And the more we trust Him is the more we're going to learn from Him. So each step that we take takes us to a deeper level in God as we start this process, as we come to Him and we take upon ourselves His yoke and we start to walk with Him. Now, it's different for us because, you know, God does things, you know, a lot different than the world does it. Now, in the world, you and I believe, have been trained to base everything on the concept of performance. You perform better, you get more, right? So we're judged by the performance that we do. Now, in the kingdom, it's based a lot by faith. Now, we do know, just as a disclaimer, you know, that we need to be a doer of the Word of God, so I'm not talking about lollygagging or lazy Christians. That's not where I'm going. But I want us to understand the concept of what it means that, you know, it's a different way. We don't want to get into works righteousness. We don't want to compare ourselves with other people in the congregation in how we do things or what we're doing for God to justify our own actions or to maybe even feel condemnation. So we need to make sure that we go over to this different system that He has. And that's why, you know, we need other people in our life to be able to help us. Now, hopefully you look at other people in the church as people that's going to help you. People that's on your team. You know, there's no competition in here, right? You know, I know one time, you know, there's different levels. Everybody likes to be liked, right? You know, that maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, and you love it when the kids say you're the favorite. you're my favorite teacher. And you just go, ooh, look at me. You know, be careful. Be careful. Because that will get you off where it's no longer working together as a team, but, you know, Christianity will become an individual sport. And that's a dangerous place to be. So we need to look at each other as part of a body, is what the scripture talks about. You know, we got hands, we got feet, we got eyes, we got ears. All the parts need to work together. And when an animal hooks up to the yoke, you know, it takes everything that it has to be able to function properly and to be able to do the things that, you know, God's called us to do. So with this grace that God's given us, you know, what are we going to do with it? You know, the choice is ours. Because what this passage is really saying to us is Jesus says, accept me as the one who directs you. That's good, isn't it? Because that's where we need to get. It means to accept his teaching to become his disciple. And it's a process. It's different than the world. It comes by being a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. It comes by choosing to build relationship with God, but also with others, to want to see people come to God's kingdom, to get saved. Only somebody who was lost and has been saved can understand the importance of reaching the lost. You know, a religious person can't see that because they've had to feel like they've had to go through a bunch of performance tests where they've had to quit this and they've had to do this and they've had to quit that and they've had to do this and that, and, you know, and it's not a lot of fun. So what they've done, and that's why they don't want to maybe go out and reach other people, is because, man, I don't want them to have to go through what I did. But somebody who knows Christ, somebody who is hooked up to his yoke and has entered into that rest, it's only natural that you want to share this with other people. And I encourage you today to think about the yoke, the yokes in your life. Are they liberating? Are they giving you rest and peace for your life? Or is there things by the process of the way you're doing them, are they making you stressed? Let's pray.